Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. It is officially election season in Branch 2502, and I once again have my world-class co-host and running mate with me, Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
There you go. And before we get into the meat of this episode, where it's going to be kind of campaign focused, I want to talk about something that's going on in my personal life. So I have been having kidney stone pain, and it is quite unpleasant. I've had kidney stones twice before, and it is not okay. It is not fun. It is extremely painful. And in fact, a brief anecdote about that. So the very first time I had kidney stones, I thought it was back pain, because in the beginning, at least, it feels a lot like back pain. And so I was in the shower trying to get some hot water and trying to get some relief that way, and it wasn't really working. And then it had like an attack, because the kidney stone pain will kind of come and go. Like when the stone is on the move, it hurts a lot. And then when the stone stops moving, sometimes you can get complete relief, and that's really nice. So anyway, I'm in the shower, I'm hurting, and then I have like this attack, and I drop to the ground, and I'm in the fetal position, and I am in agony. And while I'm on the ground in the shower, I realize it's not helping with the pain at all. Like no matter what position I'm in, no matter what I'm doing, it hurts the same no matter what. And so I think to myself, well, with that in mind, you know, I'm going to get back and continue showering. Like once it passes, I get up and I'm like, damn, none of that helped at all. The next time I have an attack, I'm just going to keep doing whatever I'm doing, since it doesn't make any difference anyway. The pain still comes. And then a couple minutes later, I had another attack and I was immediately on the ground in agony. It turned out I was not doing that voluntarily. If it hurts bad enough, it'll floor you. So anyway, we fast forward to my current kidney stone issue. And it started out again with back pain that arose out of nowhere, that my back just started hurting for no reason. There was no inciting incident. And I'm like, man, I'm getting old. This is stupid that it would hurt without like lifting something. And after a few days, or shit, it might have been at least a week, it's not going away, and I start to recognize this pain. And I'm like, oh, no, I think I know what this is. This is kidney pain. This is not back pain. And then one day, it just completely disappeared, again, for no reason. And that's when I knew for sure, okay, this is kidney pain. And then when it came back again, it was localized in my kidney. Okay, this is definitely a problem. So anyway, I'm dealing with it. I'm going to work, because walking can help kind of move things along. It can, in some cases, provide some relief. And then we get to this last Monday. I'm recording this on Thursday, 11th of September. And on Monday, it got bad enough that I had to go to the hospital. And so I decided that I was going to go to the hospital instead of like a quick care. Because when you have kidney pain, you want the good drugs. There's some drug that I got at the hospital last time that really helped. And, you know, who knows what else could be going on. And so I'm just going to go to the hospital. So I drive myself to this small emergency room and they take me in and, you know, they talk about my previous kidney stones and what's going on. And everything's pretty straightforward. And then they order a CT scan because they have this fancy scanner. And it can actually see the kidney stone, even if it's tiny. So they'll know exactly where it is, what kind of damage it's doing. So I go in for my CT scan. And when the doctor comes back with the results, we get a surprise. I do not have a kidney stone. And he says that it turns out on the imaging, I have a mass growing on my kidney. That is currently 4 centimeters. It's a little bit smaller than a golf ball, about the size of a walnut. And that's not good. So I don't know what it is yet. I have an appointment to go see a specialist who is also a surgeon. And presumably they'll take more imaging. And I feel like one way or the other, it's going to have to come out. You know, hopefully it's just like a benign cyst and they cut it out and that's the end of it. I really don't know. But I'll tell you, in a way, I'm really fortunate that I've had kidney stones in the past, because if I didn't know what I was feeling, I probably would have just thought it was back pain and I never would have gone to the doctor about it. And I certainly never would have got that CT scan. And never would have found this growth, whatever it is. And so that's where it is right now. You know, I don't know. Hopefully it's something benign, but I will let you guys know as I get more information on that. But dude, it's a good reason to go to the doctor. That's for sure. Okay. So with that behind us,
did you miss any work?
Yeah, I missed a day and like 2 hours.
Now, did
work.
Imagine me issue discipline?
No, dude. So it's a funny thing. It's a great question because I have pretty good attendance generally. And they know the score. Like, I kept them apprised. Like, I'm not shy about my medical conditions. I'm talking about it on the podcast. Yeah, as you can see. Right, exactly. And so I told them in advance, like, hey, I'm having kidney stone pain. And, dude, I put that on my 3996. You know, that, hey, I'm having kidney stone pain, and it's very difficult to work, and so I'm going to need overtime today. And they're cool about it. And so when I told him I was going to the hospital with kidney stone pain, yeah, no problem. And then when I called and said, hey, it turns out I don't have a kidney stone. Yeah, they've been totally supportive. Dude, I've always been pretty lucky with the management at my station that they've been reasonably human for most of the time that I've been there. And that's, I know that it gets way worse. Like, you've had some of those really bad managers and supervisors.
Oh, that for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, none of this is really what we're here to talk about, but I want to talk about it. It also helps for me just emotionally to kind of talk about it and get it out there because, like, dude, there is a chance.
Let's just pray and hope that it's just nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. When the question will be, like, when the mass comes out, does the kidney need to come out with it? And even if it does, I got a spare. I've been carrying around for all this time for no good reason. So,
you crush that walnut.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, crush size. That walnut size. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So we're running for office. The ballots are out now. It is time to vote.
Yep.
And guys, sure is. We need you to vote so hard. If you are in Las Vegas, I know Las Vegas is the second leading city for downloads for Classes ML. Number one, for whatever reason, is Chicago. But Las Vegas is number two. So I know I have a lot of listeners in Las Vegas, a lot of subscribers in Las Vegas. And guys, now is the time. And if you're already a supporter of Classes of Mail, if you listen to me, you know what's going on and you know why this election is important. For goodness sake, I need you to tell a friend. I need you to get the word out. You know, send them a text message. Send them the people who were recommending. Because you got that mailer in your mailbox too that Michael... Dude, we haven't talked about this on the podcast.
No, not at all. That's why we need... Michael
blew his entire back paycheck to send out a mailer to our branch because we're not going to get screwed by the retirees again.
Right.
You know, we have to be able to reach people. So I paid out of my own pocket for a full page ad in the newsletter. And then Michael, talk about what it was that drove you to that point where you're like, screw it. I'm going to spend $2,500 and send out this mailer.
Well, so last year, we didn't do that last year. Okay. The other two did. The other two groups.
Oh, right, because we had a three-way.
Yeah, there was a three teams.
Three-way race,
And the other two did that. And they are the one who spent all that money. But in reality, they spent that money for nothing because now we had to do a re-election because you know, I'm sure we told you guys all about that.
Right.
And this time we have a national oversight committee, basically, three people committee.
Yeah,
that's watching the election.
Right, they're from national. Yeah,
and so I mean, they're from California, but
but national sense.
Yeah, it's from Region One.
Right.
Okay, and so what's cool about it is national is actually paying for them. So not even our branch is paying for them. The national is paying for, which is awesome.
But we still are on the hook for the cost of the election. Wouldn't have had to been done if they would just follow the freaking rules.
Right.
And
there's some things where you may have a third one. But anyway.
What was the cost that they spending not to exceed? Was it like $15,000?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. We're like, what?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it doesn't get up to that level. But dude, this is costing the branch a good amount of money.
Yes.
And we've already talked about on previous episodes why we're probably going to have a third election.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason that I did it this time is because now I feel like we're having a fair election.
Yeah.
At least a lot fairer than before. Right. Yeah, there's still a lot of things that's incumbent is still favorable, but I think it's a lot more even than before.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm like, you know what? I just got the back pay. I'm not spending on anything. And maybe I accept to pay the bills off.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll use that to, you know, at least to campaign, you know. And I figure, I'm like, you know what? I got all these supporters that wants me to win. And if I don't do my every effort to make this happen, then I'm going to be failing them. So I figure the one of the best thing is actually spend the money, get the mailers out there,
right,
and including Alan spent his money to put the ad in the newsletter.
Yep.
And I took my time to put an article in the newsletter also. And so we're doing everything we can to do that, including obviously the classes of mail that we're doing that too. And so time, money, and all other things, I think we're doing as much as we can for all the people that's been supporting us. And there's still more coming because we're not done yet.
No, that's okay? True.
But that is the reason why I spent the money that I did. And I had some people that actually did donate some money back to me so that so I wasn't the only one spending the money, thankfully. And so that I can actually have some money. Maybe I'll go to a Korean barbecue or something with it.
Hey, speaking of doing all we can, tell our listeners about the picnic.
Yeah. So anyway, the more things that I'm doing is that we're doing a picnic this Sunday. For anybody who's in Las Vegas, we're having a picnic at Aliente Nature Park.
Yeah, this would be September 14th, 2025. Yeah,
right. September 14th, 2025, around noonish to whenever. Okay. The reason I got to put whenever is that there's a lot of CCs out there. They're going to work till 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon.
Right.
And trust me, we'll still be at the park.
Oh, yeah. They should come by after.
And because we're going to have plenty of food and drinks. So come and join us for food. Okay. Because I don't want you to go home and get food or not that because we're doing a potluck style.
Yeah.
But I believe we'll have enough food for all the CCAs.
Oh, dude, if you're a CCA, just come out.
Yep. Just come. Absolutely. Don't have to stop anywhere. Just come. We should have plenty of food for all you all.
Right. Okay.
And last year, I had probably over 100 people show up last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fun. I got there about 8 in the morning to make sure I got a spot in the park.
Right.
And throughout the whole day, I didn't leave till after 10 o'clock at night.
That's awesome.
Because we were all having fun. We were, you know.
Yeah. It was great. It was good camaraderie. Solidarity.
Exactly.
Right. It was excellent. And we had the second opposition ticket show up, and those people are now united with us.
Yep.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, that the whole feel of the campaign is different this time around. Because we don't have a split opposition.
Right.
We have a united opposition, and it's not just Michael and me doing everything. Like, our supporters have become a lot more active.
Yes.
And the people all the way down the ticket that the Reform Caucus is endorsing are also a lot more active. We're seeing text messages going out, people telling their friends, people rallying their stations. Like, we have stations now that are backing our reform movement that before were just kind of off the radar.
Yeah. And some people are doing stuff that we don't know about, and then we're getting blamed for it.
Okay. Well, there is that. At the station. Like, there's some campaign.
Because our incumbents, that they get, they're worried, so they try to blame us on anything.
Oh, yeah.
To management.
Right. Right. Hey, management, management accused or got a letter from the hall saying that you needed to stop campaigning on the workroom floor. Or there was something that
which
they
I had nothing
you
to do
doing.
With. Yeah.
Right. And it's not even, you're not even doing it. And the super, and you said the manager wrote back and was like, hey, I'm watching Michael and he's
every
not
second.
Doing any of this stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the thing is, the incumbent president.
Yeah, they're getting scared.
I guess he send an email to the postmaster, the MCSO, the station manager, and the supervisors.
Wow.
Saying that I'm doing this. And then I guess my station manager sent back saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Because
this is not happening here.
Yeah. And, dude, you know, look at that.
And the reason that I know that it's not happening because I'm one of those person that gets steward and running for president, and I voice my opinions a lot.
Yeah.
And management absolutely hates me. They always watches my ass every second to a point where I have to tell them, you know, I think my ass is starting to hurt because you're watching it so much that I might have to file an EEO sexual harassment because you're watching my ass so much. And they're like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Right.
You know? But I know they watch me all the time. So for them to say, oh, Michael is doing this. Yeah, good luck with that because they're watching me every second.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about running what will inevitably be a more successful campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still no guarantee that we're going to win, but the momentum is definitely swinging our way. We have a lot of enthusiasm. We have certainly more enthusiasm than the incumbent, and it's all going to hinge on how many active letter carriers, the people who put the mail in the box, how many of them actually vote.
Yes.
And so for Christ's sake, we need you to vote.
Yeah.
But the turnout mechanism is cranked way up this time because we have all that grassroots support. We have people at that level because we're taking more action ourselves, and the people who are with us are taking more action. And dude, we got a fighting chance, man.
Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
because it's more even.
Okay? Right, it's more even.
It's more even to a point where they're scared enough that they have to spend like way more money than us, I think, on the campaign.
Okay? Yeah, I have not received a mailer ad from them at my house.
True, that is
but
true.
But maybe they didn't send it to us because
right,
we're not going to vote
because they're already
for them.
Spending all that money. Right,
right, exactly.
You know, that's probably what, just like I didn't send them anything either.
Yeah, right,
you know,
exactly.
Why would I send them anything?
Yeah, you know they're not going to vote for us.
78 cents a stamp. I mean, geez, right. That, it gets expensive when there's 2,000 members.
Yeah, it does. But having that network, it's critical. And having people who are invested. Again, you know, I know there's people out there like Badmouth, like mm-hmm. John Murphy, reform-minded people who are going to wind up running for positions in their own branches if they're not doing so already.
And, well, we'll support them on that.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, a lot of what we're doing now comes from lessons that John Murphy has said to me or that Chris Pennock talked about because he successfully ran in Minnesota and other people, you know, about building this network of people who are invested. And that's...
Well, including CLC.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, learning from them too and what they're mm-hmm. doing. And that's a big difference too, where not being able to run for the positions we wanted has actually hurt us because we had people slated to run for branch-wide officer positions who were no longer able to run because of this ruling by our local president. And so those are people, like when you get somebody who's running for a branch-wide position, suddenly turnout becomes important to them too. And now they will push in their own station to get people to turn out, to get people to vote. And you need that because as the challenger, you can't get to those other stations. You know, we don't have that kind of access.
So talk of which, you know, there are some people talking about how we are inexperienced.
Oh, okay. Dude, I want to talk about this too.
Yeah. Yep. So
it's not just here.
Look, I've been a steward.
Hold
for
on, let me set
years.
The table just a little bit
okay.
more.
All right, okay.
Because this is the number one knock that incumbents use against challengers.
Right.
Because only the incumbent has the experience of that office.
Because they won't allow anybody else to get that experience.
Yeah, unless it's a very unusual situation mm-hmm. where like somebody leaves office and they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The incumbent is by its very nature the only right. person who has the experience of that office. And then to double down on that, you get exactly what, go ahead, Michael, talk yeah. about why other people can't get that experience.
Yeah, because they're stonewalling us.
Gatekeeping.
You're gatekeeping, stonewalling. Yep. They're doing all that stuff so that, right. I mean, I had a phone call from our incumbent president and okay. the vice president. That called me and said, hey, Michael, because you don't listen to anything that we ask you to do, so therefore we will never allow you to do anything in the NALC.
Wow.
No, well, now you can see what my response was.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're not going to roll over
president.
For him. Right, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't kiss ass.
Right.
Okay? That's the thing, okay? What I want to do is I want to know all the rules and protect all the letter carriers knowing the rules.
Right.
And when I fight with the hall because I know the rules and sometimes they're wrong, they get angry at that.
Well, and that's the thing, right? What they're telling you to do is not file grievances.
Mm-hmm.
Is not...
I'm trying to file grievances.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And they're telling you, oh, that's not a grievance.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And talk which is about that fight. Too is yeah. right now at my station, and including probably some other stations too,
right.
where my stewards, when you ask them to file a grievance, they go, well, this is a grievance settlement that we've had. I know this is a grievance. And they're like, oh, the hall says this is not a grievance. Well, I'm saying this was a grievance. Here's the grievance settlement before.
Right.
And they don't do it. They go, well, the hall says I don't have to file. It's not a grievance. So I'm not going to file it. These are the people that I have, that our current incumbent
yeah.
uses.
Yeah. This is what we're up against.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about some of the differences between us and the incumbent.
But one more thing.
Go ahead. Yeah.
One more thing. Our endorsement on executive vice president is Ladina Long.
Yes.
Okay. She used to be our executive vice president.
She was.
When our president passed away.
Right.
And she moved up to become the executive vice president.
Correct.
The reason that she was stonewalled, whatever the word you want to use.
Yeah, blackballed in her case. Yeah.
Yeah. Is because she had a disagreement at an e-board meeting.
Right.
And because our president is very retaliatory.
Yep.
And blackballed her.
Right.
And so now he's making sure that she can't be part of his
clique. Yeah. Okay? She's iced out.
Yeah. Not part of that club.
Right.
And so, but in reality, she's got experience. She has been with the post office for a long time. I forget all the things that she has done.
Right.
But she has done Ladina formal A's. She's done the DRT, I think that she's done that also. And she's gone to all these other trainings and leadership academy or something like that. So she had a lot of, she's got way more experience than I do. And so if you guys vote for her with me,
right,
she's going to show me a lot of things because she's got experience.
Okay? Absolutely.
And
that's part of, I've always been impressed with her intellectually and pleased with the way that she's done trainings and things like that. And she was on the track. She was doing great until she had a disagreement with our branch president.
Mm-hmm.
And our branch president doesn't have the emotional maturity to deal with anybody disagreeing with him.
Yes.
And that's when she got iced out. And same with the person running for trustee, Nancy Birdsong. She used to be the treasurer.
Yes.
And her and Ladina both, they were on the executive board with our branch president.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood up to him and they're out.
Yeah.
Because he will not brook disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where with Michael.
They only want people that'll kiss his ass.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you can see it with Michael on this podcast where Michael and I sometimes disagree.
Yes.
And when we disagree, and we have to pause the recording, we're not pausing the recording to see who can yell the loudest. We're pausing the recording to go look at the J-cam.
Yeah. The actual ruling ourselves. Yeah.
And that's how we decide who's right or wrong between the two of us, as opposed to just might makes right, which is the current method in our branch.
Right. Only thing that I say is right.
Right.
No, because nobody's perfect.
Right. Exactly.
So you got to admit that you are wrong sometimes.
Yeah. Michael's right more often than I am. But again, those disagreements are settled by the J-CAM.
Yes.
Not by, oh, Michael just knows better and I better listen to him. And that's one of the things I really like about him is he's not afraid of entertaining disagreement. And we don't have that in the hall right now.
That's what I want. How am I going to improve if nobody tells me that I'm doing anything wrong?
That's it. That's exactly right.
Because that's what's going on at the hall right now.
Oh, 100%.
Nobody's telling him what he's doing wrong.
Yeah.
Not doing his job and he doesn't even know that he's not doing it because nobody's telling him anything.
Right. Right. And then he'll stand up there like when he was defending his charges and saying, a lot of this could have been solved with discussions. Dude, you don't make yourself available for discussions.
Those discussions. Yeah, because you'll retaliate back.
Yeah. Dude,
and you won't listen.
My last text with him was to talk about how we can have a discussion and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
He never responded.
Yeah. And things like this, too, is especially with Alan and his station.
Yeah.
His station needs a steward.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Alan's been putting his name in there for steward. All the carriers at his station has voted for him to be a steward, except for one.
The president's girlfriend.
Girlfriend. And so, but there's still, though, the position has not been filled.
Still open.
That's right.
Okay.
And so he's not doing his job.
Yeah. And if we have a disagreement on whether that position is filled, that disagreement is settled in the bylaws.
Yes.
Where it says upon vacancy, the president has, is supposed to fill those vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing it.
Especially when there's a person who's willing to do it.
Yeah, that's right. And who benefits from that? It sure as hell ain't the carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem. And this is where Michael puts the carriers first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have some people at your station who you don't necessarily get along with. If they come to you with a grievance,
I'm not going to deny it.
You're freaking right.
Go ahead and file it.
You fight that grievance 100%. Mm-hmm. Dude, I guarantee you, I know if the president's girlfriend came to me with a discipline at my station, I would fight like hell to turn over that discipline because I'm not just defending her. I'm defending the contract. But Michael, you recently got a discipline at your station. We don't have to talk about what the discipline was, but you brought that to the stewards that were appointed by our president.
None of them wanted to do it.
Yeah. They actually refused or declined to handle
my 7-day suspension for attendance.
Yeah.
They all refused.
It's it's so, it's unbelievable. Like, mm-hmm. and this is something that the Hall should be saying, like, no, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. This is your job as a steward. But that doesn't sound like what they're getting from the Hall.
But these were installed in by our president.
Yeah, exactly.
Our current president.
And so this is the kind of thing that we have to fight, because this is not good for the carriers. You know, this is a problem. And speaking of fighting, you know, we know Michael's a fighter. We know Michael's not going to roll over for anybody. And think about, the president is the person who speaks for the branch, you know, who takes up for the branch.
Right.
And so if we send, you know, compare in your mind, for those of you who are at the branch, or just you've heard enough to kind of picture in your head our current president. Imagine that our current president at, say, a committee of presidents meeting, mm-hmm. and where Renfro's up there talking, and you know our current president is just going to sit on his hands.
Yeah, he never speaks out.
No, he never speaks out, yep. never uses the weight of our branch, mm-hmm. but do you think Michael would sit on his hands?
Oh, man. I'd be asking all sorts of questions.
Yeah, that's right. You might get yourself kicked out.
Yeah, I might be kicked out. Yeah, that's for sure. Because they've been trying to kick me out at our general meetings even. So
yeah. You know. And so this is, you know, that fighter fighting for the carriers, for what's right for the carriers. Dude.
Yeah. You know, it's and another big thing that I want to do if, you know, when I win, is that we have 2,000 members, and right. we can send 5% of our carriers to the national
right.
convention.
Yeah, we can send upwards of 100 people.
Which is approximately 100 people.
Yeah.
I would love to have sent all 100 people to the national convention. Can you imagine Branch 25 with 100 people sitting in there? How much that is, because they're all delegates.
Right.
They can vote.
Yeah,
that's a huge vote. Right. And when you know, Brian Renfro, whoever wants to pass something stupid, we can vote to say yes or no to these things that we want.
Right. Yeah, we'll actually have more of a say. Yeah.
We're a big branch. Right. I can't believe there are only 15 to 20 people go every time. Dude, it should be closer to 100.
Yes, and it's because nobody at our branch even knows this is happening. Nobody knows that they can become delegates. But nobody knows any of that.
Yeah, actually, some of them do.
But I'm saying,
they choose not to go because they don't want to be around our president.
Well, that's certainly part of it. Yeah. That's the reason I didn't want to go to Boston. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, people who might be interested in that, our branch does nothing to like spread the word.
Right.
You know, to get people motivated.
Or no encouragement.
Yeah, there's no encouragement. Right. Just like with that CCA breakfast that they had a while back.
Mm-hmm.
What mechanism did they have in place to like get the word out and make sure people know? There isn't one. Yeah. Because they just sit up there in that black hole where information goes in and it never comes out. And it's ridiculous. And, you know, to get back to the experience topic, where they are gatekeeping people, preventing them from getting that experience, it's not a selling point for them. It's a goddamn indictment of them that they won't bring people on. But here they are sitting up there, like in their advertisement, oh, I've got 31 years experience. What good is it doing us?
Yeah.
You know, that just means you're that much out of touch with what regular working carriers are going through. I mean, it's not a selling point.
They get over hundreds of years of experience.
Right.
But if you're not using the experience to help out carriers, then what good are you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you're not actively making sure that you are in touch with carriers, knowing what's going on at the workroom floor, empathizing with carriers. Mm-hmm. Dude, empathy, they don't have it down there.
No.
Like I know, I've been around when carriers have come in, back when I used to, you know, before all this, and a carrier would come in and be like, oh my God, it's so hot out there. And the Hall was like, toughen up, buttercup. We had it hot too. Like, dude, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for like, hey, come and get some water, enjoy the air conditioning. And that's just not the attitude.
I was told by a carrier, I don't know if it's true or not. But when our president was walking down, you know, going through the station and asking one of the carriers, hey, how is everything going?
Uh-huh.
And the carrier replied, well, it's okay, so and so and so. And the president's response was, well, at least it's better than being in prison.
Great. I mean, that's 100% plausible. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from my own experience, I have, you know, it at my station with one of my friends where they were complaining about being mandated. And this branch president, instead of being empathetic and, yeah, we're going to fight for you, we're going to stop this stuff, his answer was, oh, they have the right to do that. They can mandate you, you know, if they want. And the carrier's like, but dude, they're breaking the contract to mandate
you. Every single day.
Yeah, they're not
doing
it properly.
Yeah, and when the carriers are talking to me, is they're asking for help, not an excuse.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and to come around and glad hand and then not give a shit about what's actually going on, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why you need actual working carriers to be on this executive board, to be having branch officer positions.
Our current president is an active carrier.
Yeah, but he hasn't carried mail in
over 15 years or so.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time, right? And everybody on the reform ticket is an actual put-the-mail-in-a-box carrier.
Yeah, they're all still carrying mail.
Right,
exactly. Every single one.
Yeah.
Because we're not, you know, we're not allowed to do anything else than
that. Yeah, well, that's a good point, right? Mm-hmm. Thanks to the gatekeeping. Yeah. But, and these are...
They're purposely making sure we can't do anything.
Right, and we know... From our experience at meeting after meeting after meeting at our branch meetings, that the people who put the mail in the box, they're on our side. They are voting with us every
time. Well, a lot of them. I mean, they're obviously, there's still kiss-assers that
but
will
dude,
be
but
supporting
But that's what I'm saying. If you compare, if you just took the vote of the people who put mail in the box,
we win.
We win every single one of those votes.
Yes.
Everyone. And then when you add in the, you know, because, yeah, like Michael says, some of them will defect. Some of them have other opinions, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then when you add in the executive board that votes as a block, and then you add in the retirees that just do whatever the executive board does, that's how we lose these votes.
Right.
And that's why it is so critical that you have to vote in this upcoming, in the election that is happening right now.
If you don't like what's going on right now, you got to vote.
Yeah, you have to vote. Okay. And when do ballots have to be in?
Ballots has to be in, I say, at least a week before October 1st. I say September 24th.
Yeah. October 1st is the deadline.
Yeah.
And they're going to pick up the ballots at 9 a.m. on October 1st.
Try to send it in by September 24th, at least a week early.
But, dude, this time, the ballots actually have postage on them, or the return envelopes.
They all are first class.
Reply. Yeah.
Yes.
So just do it right now.
Yeah.
You know, let's go down our endorsement.
Alan, did you receive a ballot today?
I did.
I haven't gone home yet, so I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
So that means you go and fill it out and put it in the mail tomorrow.
Yeah. And if you're looking for help for president, I recommend Michael Brazenly. For executive vice president, I recommend Ladina Long. Michael, who do you recommend for vice president?
Somebody named Alan Gigax.
Hey, that's me. That's awesome. All right. Who do you recommend for treasurer?
Treasurer will be Derek Smith.
All right.
He is very meticulous.
Yeah. And Derek Smith, you know, you just heard from my campaign advisor, Rich, who is not in the union, not even a letter carrier. Well, Derek Smith
is... I thought you said he is in the union, but
not in
the postal union.
He's in the police union. Yeah. And but Derek Smith is Michael's campaign advisor, and he's sharp in a lot of the same ways. That dude is really smart.
He has been my... he is the reason why I'm a steward. That I was today.
He's like your mentor.
He's like my mentor.
Yeah, there you go. All right, for health benefits, we want Jeanette Litviak. And then for trustee, we got Jonathan Munoz, Nancy Birdsong, Lauren McDade, and Lori Worley.
Yep.
Those are our recommendations.
And these people are extremely smart.
Yep.
And they are always fighting for carriers and what is right.
Yeah.
And so talk of some of those people like Lori Worley. She came from Chicago.
Okay.
And so she knows a lot of people in Chicago.
It's the number one city for classes of mail.
And that could be one of the reasons that she's been informing them what we're doing here.
Yeah. Okay.
So she has been one of my biggest supporters. And then Lauren McDade, she is a...
Oh, she's
she
an
was
ass-kicker.
A steward at... Meadow Mesa.
Right.
And she was doing all the grievances, but until she got in an argument with the hall to a point where the hall was not supporting her.
Right.
And was supporting management is when she's like, hell with this. And then decided to leave being the steward, because if the hall is not going to allow her to be a steward, then why should she?
Yeah. Okay? I mean, you can't. Yeah. And, if you're not going to get the support, and once management figures that out, you know, where at informal A, you can write the greatest grievance in the world and have it, you know, dead to rights. And if management knows that they have an ally at formal A, they can just refuse to settle it informal, send it up, and then it's going to get withdrawn or it's going to get watered down.
In their favor.
Yeah. And that's the problem, right? Yeah. And that's where you need people like Michael backing up the people at informal A. So that you know that grievance is going to be fought every step of the way.
And then you have Nancy Birdsong, who has a lot of experience, because she used to be a treasurer at our, and she was a treasurer that was voted in. Yep. So she, it's not like she was installed. She was voted in.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people know who she is.
Yeah. And when she saw the improprieties in the last election, mm-hmm. she was one of the people who actually came forward with the physical evidence that proved that our president was buying and you know, doing the ballots in his own election, like right. breaking all these election rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's the one who got found it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, she's... I mean, credit to her, man. Yeah. That's
and that is the reason why she'd be great up. As a trustee.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if I win or he wins,
yeah.
at least she can hold them accountable to that's make sure exactly they do things right. correctly. And that's the yep. same with Laura McDade.
Mm-hmm.
And who are we missing? There's one
Jonathan.
Person. Jonathan.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You guys all know Jonathan.
He was our executive vice president nominee last
he was
around.
Our executive vice president nominee. And the reason that he does not want to run as executive VP, I know this is going a little bit longer, is that he was the formal A rep down at the hall, and he saw the, all this things going on down at
right.
the hall that
how
he did not like, how toxic it is, how he did not like. They're all talking people behind people's back, and he didn't like all the things that was going on. And so he was like, you know what, this is going to be too much things to do. And I'm going, well, I'm willing to do all the job, but the but for Jonathan, you know, with it being having kid, he wanted to spend more time with his child and things like
right,
that.
Right.
And so he was willing to be to the trustee to hold people accountable.
Right. Okay? Dude, I think about that sometimes that like, what if like you don't win, but I do?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I got to be this lone full-time officer down there.
No, because you, as long as you're there, you're part of the e-board.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have a lot of say in what's going
well,
on.
Well, and that's it, right? Okay. And so the transparency comes immediately as soon mm-hmm. as I'm in mm-hmm. because I'm not just going to kowtow to whatever shenanigans they're trying to do down there.
Exactly.
And the light gets shown on what's happening.
And also, if me and you lose, but these people as the trustees, they win,
right.
I know they'll do what they're supposed to do
yes.
and hold the officers accountable.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they are actually going to provide a check on them, unlike the president's girlfriend right. and the treasurer's wife, so, who are current trustees.
So what does the bylaw say about the trustees, what they're supposed to do every year?
An audit, right?
Right.
That they do like a full inventory.
Have you ever seen an audit from our trustees that we got now?
How would I, dude? I don't know.
What goes on there. I've been steward for 10 years, and I've gone to almost all the meetings. I've never seen one.
I don't know. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There does not appear to be any financial impropriety mm-hmm. in our branch.
Well, if nobody does the audit, how are we going to know?
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why it's important all the way down the ticket, mm-hmm. right? To vote for reformers, vote for people who actually want to fight for the carriers. All right. I think that's all we got. Michael, thank you for driving down here. How long did it take you to drive from your side of town to mine today?
Over an hour today.
Dude.
There was multiple accidents on the highway.
Michael's a trooper.
I was driving like 5 miles an hour on the way here.
Dude. So thank you very much for coming in. And guys, thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you all next time.